The following is a production of Omnis.tv.
On this episode of Revelator, I welcome music guest Polarity, Elias from Nonpoint. It's a double feature on Revelator happening now.
And enjoy the show.
Hey everybody, welcome to Revelator. I'm your host Ryan. Thanks for hanging out with me as always. And as I said at the top of the show, it is a double feature tonight. We have Elias from Nonpoint will be joining us later, and a really great band out of Toronto, Canada, Polarity, will be joining us in just a moment, and Jasmine and Michael from the band. Definitely want to stick around. Really, really great band, making really, really great music, and we're going to talk about, you know, obviously the new album tour and all those type of things. And I'll tell you what, you know, I'm excited about tonight's show. I appreciate everyone hanging out with me. It's going to be one of those shows where yeah, no doubt. I'll tell you what, let's jump right into it. This is Polarity. This is a single off their 2011 EP. The name of the song is called Tug of War. Check this out. It's good stuff. Here on Revelator, that is Tug of War off the 2011 EP single. Very good stuff. I'm joined now by Jasmine, the lead singer, and Michael, the guitarist from the band Polarity. Thanks for joining the show. I appreciate it.
Hey, Ryan. Thanks so much for having us.
No, it's a pleasure, and we've had this book for a little while, and I appreciate you guys, you know, being patient. And I always worry, you know, when we book shows out in advance and stuff, you know, and, that far in advance. But I appreciate you guys being professional. It definitely shows you guys are very serious about what you do, and I appreciate you guys taking the time out tonight. Sure. Now, Jasmine, I'll start with you if that's okay. I want to ask you about the song we just heard, Tug of War. The lyrics of the song, I like your lyrics in general. You kind of have a dark side to you, which I find very intriguing. But there's a couple lines of that song that I really like. There's a lot, actually, but I'll read you a couple, and I want your take on it, if you don't mind. Now, one of the verses there is, you're a fool, and now your time, so just strip one more piece away. You're a cheap soul anyway. Now, great words, obviously really hard-hitting stuff there. Can you talk to me about, the feeling or the moment when you actually wrote this?
Sure. So yeah, it's "Come My Dear, You're Fine" almost crossed the line. Just strip one more piece away. You're a cheap soul anyway. And I guess the song really is about kind of battling your inner demons and your inner devil, and ultimately having your free will prevail at the end of that song. So I actually wrote that song in my grandmother's place one night when I was staying with her. And I'll never forget, because it was just a quiet evening, but we had written the song musically, and it just needed some lyrics to it. And that was kind of just, I guess, where I was in my life, just feeling like, I was feeling weak. I was feeling like that there was this inner voice that was calling me to do all these negative things. But ultimately, I knew, what the right thing to do was. And, strip one more piece away. You're a cheap soul anyway. Nobody's a cheap soul, but that's how you feel when you're dealing with this inner darkness that you're battling. So...
Very cool. Well, I appreciate you sharing that tonight. And I want to ask, Michael, I'll get to you. I promise, man. I want to ask you, as a vocalist, we've had a lot of female fronted bands on in our time. I'm not going to go through the list, but I'm curious about, as a female vocalist, is there certain female vocalists that you look up to, or that you did look up to when you first kind of got into music?
To be honest with you, mainly my vocal influences are male. When I was younger, though, I was listening to the Carpenters, kind of the music that my dad was playing in the house, and I was pretty big on musical theater. So, like, people like Lea Salonga, female vocally, that's kind of what I was listening to. And then as I grew up, I started migrating more towards male vocalists who, like Brandon Boyd from Incubus, Maynard is huge influence of mine. And now I do love female vocalists, tons of different female vocalists. Sia is an amazing female vocalist, not necessarily in the rock genre, but just as vocalists in general, who I look up to in regards to style. I really have been digging a lot of Jessie J lately. She's got an incredible voice. So yeah, my female vocal influences come outside of the rock genre, and I find, like, within the rock genre, it's mainly male based. I don't know why that is, but yeah, I just love a lot of male based rock music, I guess.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of, maybe, female, especially within the female fronted bands now, kind of are in that weird kind of link, I guess, middle ground, where, at that time, maybe growing up, there wasn't a whole lot of really strong female vocalists to look up to, or as opposed to where nowadays, there's just a lot more out there for women to hear. Now, Michael, obviously playing guitar for the band, writing riffs for the band. When you write a riff, you got a song or something you guys are working on, and you give the Jasmine. She's obviously writing most of the lyrics, I would assume, and yep. She comes back to you with lyrics like for Tug of War. I mean, what is your thought? You're like, man, like that's some serious powerful stuff right there.
Oh, definitely. Like, whenever she shows me lyrics and then the way that she sings it, like, in her vocal lines, like, it just gives me goosebumps. Like, and I just feel that, it suits the mood of the song really well, in terms of the dynamics. And just, like, if I create a dark feeling, like, even with my guitar riff, she matches that. If I create something that's really light, she'll do the same. Or sometimes we'll contrast and they just go together.
Very cool. Well, obviously, you guys have a pretty good synergy, and just talking with you before the show, obviously, you guys get along very well outside of the band, which is always good to hear and see as well. Now, the song Tug of War we're talking about, you guys did a video for this song. Do you guys like doing music videos? Was that a cool experience for you guys as a band?
Oh, it was one of the best experiences, and I'm definitely sure that there definitely will be more. It was a really fun process. It was a long process that took about like a couple hours, like on one. It was really fun because we got to play the song over and over again. It's like music videos are made, and just all around, like so many people that went into the production of it, like that gave a lot of good help, and it was just good times all around for sure.
It's kind of very surreal because, you know, I think when you're an aspiring artist, you kind of see all these other artists out there that have music videos and have albums. Like when you make your first CD, like to have that in your hand is kind of a very surreal thing. It feels real, but it doesn't feel real, but it's kind of no big deal because it's just part of the process and just the next step. So to me, that's kind of what the music video was. And yeah, we loved it. We filmed it from, you know, 10 p.m. to about 5 a.m. One weekend. And, you know, by 3 in the morning, everybody was... like our bass player was puking, you know, like yeah. Everybody was completely exhausted because we were just rocking out to that song over and over and over and over and over again. But
and we were surviving on like Coca-Cola and Cheetos.
Yeah.
An endless supply.
They're like, keep going, keep filming. Here's some more cola. But well, cool. I appreciate you guys talking about that. I'm always curious about, you know, music videos. I don't think a lot of people understand like all the work that really goes into it. Not just, you know, for the band, but, you know, you have the crew and then, you know, editing later and all those different things, the lighting, you know, making sure that's, you know, right, that, you know, people are where they're supposed to be when they're filming and all that stuff. A lot goes into it. Now, we're obviously playing tracks from your 2011 EP, but you guys have been kind of taking, I guess, a little bit of time off and doing a lot of writing, working on an upcoming album. Talk to me about the growth as a band from when you guys, you know, the first album in 2009, you know, the EP released in 2011. Obviously, you guys have played a lot of shows in between then. How's that growth become, you know, obviously playing shows, you know, doing an EP and now at this point writing new music. Where are you guys, how are you guys in that process right now? How has it changed for you guys?
So this is actually the first time that we've ever as a band decided to remove ourselves from the scene and just say we are totally focused on writing right now, because we've always sort of written while we've been gigging. And that was kind of a huge step for us because we love live music. That's like, you know, the bread and butter of what we do. And so for us to really seriously say, you know, from January of this year up until, you know, kind of September, October when we're hitting the studio, so kind of next month, it's really been the majority of the year to just focus on writing these new songs. And I think it's probably one of the best things that we could have done for ourselves as a band, because when we are playing shows, we're gigging and we're practicing our sets just to make sure they're really tight. So to just be able to go into the jam room, every single jam room, with, you know, new ideas and knowing that we're going to be developing this song or these riffs, or, you know, kind of seeing, just having open jams basically and see what can come out of that and if we like anything from that point forward, has been a huge evolution for us. We've also started using different tools such as Guitar Pro to write, which we'd never done before on the other albums. I think we kind of, in the past albums, the music happened very organically in the sense that it just kind of, you know, we were kind of five kids just happy to have found each other, and that was just like, pleh, you know what I mean? There's boom, 8 songs on 2009, and then 2011 again, it was kind of, we were writing and gigging and it was all kind of just happening in a very whirlwind. But this time it's definitely been kind of a very structured process for us, and we're all really, really super stoked about the new album to come out. So can't wait to, you know, actually get back to playing shows with the most songs that we've ever released at one time. So,
and I also wanted to add that going into this new release, just like we try to do with every album, we want to push the envelope in terms of like our sound, which mm-hmm. has the heaviness and the light. So the trippy light type of part of our sound. So in the next album, we try to enforce and enhance like the two areas, and that's in itself the dynamic. So I guess the polarity, right? Like the heavier gets heavier and the light and trippy gets more light and more trippier.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. But, now,
yeah.
You know, obviously, you know, growing and developing that sound, you know, and having that diversity as a band, you know, being able to, you know, I think, you know, the songs we're going to hear tonight, the next song we're going to hear is Dichotomy, and we'll get to that in a moment. But, you know, I think, you know, the audience is going to get a good indication of the direction you guys can really go, because you have, you know, the melodic kind of trippy, you know, psychedelic type sound almost. But you also have some really heavy riffs and really great drum beats as well. So, I mean, mm-hmm. obviously, you know, the rumor is you guys live are a very, very tight band live, which I assume is a very humbling experience to hear, right?
Mm, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's the best compliment you can receive as a band.
Yeah, I mean, is there
hearing it for sure?
Now, I mean, playing live, is that you know, like introducing new music? Have you, you know, had a chance to, you know, like, hey, we've been kind of messing with this a little bit. You know, we got a little extra time on a set. If that happens, is it a little intimidating introducing something new to an audience?
Sometimes it can be. It's just sometimes when we play live, it's just also a good feeling when people, they hardly really clap because they're looking at us and like, whoa, what did I just hear? This is awesome.
Hopefully what they're thinking. Like,
But other times, by even thinking like, this is just something new that I've never heard, right? And even maybe that comes even full circle when we listen to music, when we listen to new bands, and then we're thinking like, wow, this is just something that, you know, we're trying to broaden our horizons. It's nothing I've never heard before. So as long as we have that, then I guess that helps too.
I think we're very lucky because we've got some really, really, really solid fans here in Toronto. And we have played a couple of shows recently, and we've definitely given them a couple of tidbits and samplers of two new songs off of the album. And we've only had positive response from it. So very blessed.
Yeah. Hopefully, I guess it seems that we're definitely going in the right direction. So we'll see when we get into the studio soon.
Very, very cool. Now, you mentioned, I think, Jasmine, you mentioned sometime in October. Do you guys have a time frame set aside for this? Like, you know, we're going to go in October and we want to have this done by January of 2014?
Yeah, we do have our goal is to release the album in April of 2014. So we do have kind of the fall, winter to be in studio, taking our time with the actual album. We're recording in an absolutely beautiful, fantastic studio that we've done both of our other albums, the drum tracking there. And then we did release a single called Toph just in the past summer. And the whole track of Toph was recorded in this studio. It does have a video accompanied with it. So if you want to get an idea of what the studio looks like, you can go check that video out at Toph, but it's called DNA and it's incredible. And because we have a great working relationship with them, they've just kind of basically said, when you guys are ready. And now we're just waiting on the producer that we're going to be working with. He's a pretty busy guy, so it's kind of dependent on his availability and our readiness. We are ready at this point, I'd say, but until the producer that we're going to be working with is 100% ready, then we're just going to continue to write and hone in on it. But for sure, the fall and the winter will be in studio.
Very cool. Well, I'm excited to hear what you guys come up with next spring. Now, when you guys released your EP in 2011, you guys actually played the Toronto Tattoo Rock Parlor, which was also a benefit for cancer, for breast cancer. You guys raised $11,000. How cool was that to, you know, to have your release party for such a really good cause?
Oh, actually, okay, sorry, just a little, don't get confused, because the show for the breast cancer was actually at this event called the Barn Burner. Like somewhere in north of Kitchener. It was a huge outdoor show with other bands playing at the same time. The one at the Tattoo Rock Parlor is strictly just the like our CD release.
Ah, okay, my bad. That's my fault there. So, but it's still, obviously, still two really cool shows.
Yeah, I think as a band, one of, you know, the biggest blessings or one of the things that is so important to do as a band is to use your music for good. And we always love playing charity shows. So we've raised $11,000 with the Barn Burner back in 2011. We just played it this year. And again, they raised another $11,000. And we put our own show on for Movember. I don't know if you guys have Movember down in the States as well. The month of November, people grow mustaches and it's all for prostate cancer. So we put on our own show for Movember in November and raised some money. So it's definitely been amazing to be able to use music as a medium to support great causes.
Mm-hmm. And awesome. We also did the Youth Day concert in Toronto. That was also for a benefit show as well, for like to promote like youth, like from a global scale. So yeah, like just like we were saying, like if it's for a good cause, like we're all definitely all down for sure.
Very cool. Well, it's always good to hear you guys are obviously interested in being part of the community in Toronto as well. And it's always good to hear when bands are doing those type of activities. I'll tell you what, let's take a break. The next track we're going to hear tonight is called The Dichotomy. What can you tell me about this particular track?
The Dichotomy, I think, was probably one of the last songs that we wrote for the 2011 EP. It kind of just happened, and really it's about kind of when dreams come to life and kind of struggling with that understanding, and yeah.
All right, cool.
Mm. I guess from my aspect, just very quickly, like Dichotomy was just in a way of just expanding on like a little bit more on the trippy side of like guitar playing. Mm-hmm. You're going to hear it pretty soon, I guess.
Right on. Well, I'll tell you what, this is Polarity, The Dichotomy here on Revelator. Dichotomy here on Revelator by the band Polarity, joined now by Jasmine and Michael hanging out with us. And really cool track. Now, I got to ask, and you guys probably get asked this a lot too, but I always have to ask now, the band name Polarity, how did you guys come up with that name? And also, if you don't mind, what are names that you did come up with that you decided not to go with?
You know what? It's actually really, Polarity was actually the first name that I brought to the guys, and they all liked it right off the bat, and we didn't even go through any other names, believe it or not. Nice. So it was a name that I brought to the band. The guys were previously in a band called Media Theory, and I had been in other bands, but I guess kind of in my own life, I knew that Polarity was something that was really speaking to me and was what I wanted to call my future band, I guess. And, you know, it really spoke to the duality in the music that I wanted to create, because I'm definitely a huge fan of heavy riff rock, and as well as just, you know, totally tripped out ethereal sounding music. So I guess from a musical standpoint, it kind of represents what we do, as well as from a universal standpoint, represents just life in general, the light and the dark, the good and the evil, and dealing with understanding that and finding balance within the duality of life, which is a lot of basically what the lyrics deal with in our music.
Wow, well said, well said. Now, obviously, you know, you guys obviously had met, obviously you mentioned about playing in previous bands, you know, several from one another. How did you guys all kind of get together?
Through an online ad that we had both put up on Craigslist. So I can't remember if, like, I... Yeah, there you go.
All right.
Nice.
All right, well, moving on tonight. What is your favorite type of popcorn? Kettle corn or regular white corn?
I really love kettle corn.
Kettle corn, nice. Butter, salt, or neither?
Let's go with butter.
Butter.
Butter. Butter it is. Butter that popcorn. You heard it here first on Revelator. No, you guys met on a...
Dogs are definitely cool. We are a dog band. We have two dogs in the band house, and I have a dog, so we got three dogs.
I will get a dog soon.
What kind of dogs do you have?
I myself have a part Malamute Husky, part German Shepherd, and she's absolutely beautiful. And then in the band house, there's a full-on Husky and a mutt, but she's some sort of water dog.
Belgian Truvian.
Oh, a Belgian Truvian, yeah.
Nice. Okay. All right. Cool. Yeah. Very, very interesting mix of dogs. They all get along and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very, very cool. Now, I have to ask, and we talked about this pre-show a little bit. What's the funniest moment, or the most, you know, strangest moment even, that you guys have had as a band together?
Well, there were a few that happened, but one that comes to mind right away was we played a show when we went on tour to the East Coast. We played a show in Montreal, where we were stacking all the gear, like in the very back of the venue, we found a 4-foot-tall plush doll of Yogi the Bear. And we thought, hey, this will be cool. Like, you know, like it just in the back. We asked around. No one really owned it. They were going to throw it away, if anything. So we thought, hey, let's take this guy on a journey and see what happens. And he ended up coming on to, I think, like the other half of the leg of the tour.
Nice.
Yeah, he's still in the band space as we speak right now.
Nice. So he's kind of like an unofficial mascot of the band, basically, at this point.
Totally.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Now, if you guys, you know, I imagine you, when the new album comes out, you know, in 2014, you obviously planning on doing some shows. You're going to take him back out?
Maybe he'll become our merch guy. We do need somebody to man the merch table, so it could definitely be Yogi the Bear.
Probably change the hat, if anything. I'm not a fan of the green hat.
That's awesome. Now, I'm also always curious, you know, obviously, you know, you guys are obviously committed to making this a full-time effort, which I respect. What do you guys, you know, kind of do to, you know, when you're not writing music or touring, or, you know, what do you kind of do in your free time to kind of take a break maybe from the grind of music and just kind of, you know, just kind of let go, I guess, lack of a better term.
I'm in the process of getting my personal training certification, so I absolutely love fitness, and it's just the best way for me to unwind. Kind of, it's very meditative to go for a run or just to get that extra angst and energy out. I love to just hit the gym and sweat. So that's definitely one way that I can get away from it. I'm going to be starting to teach voice lessons, which is still music related, but I did quit my full-time job, which I was working in an office for a while, to pursue music totally full-time because it is my passion and art is my passion. So yeah, I'm giving it 100% my all in regards to health and fitness and music. So
I could also say more or less likewise, especially when it comes to fitness. Like, I'm not going to be a fitness trainer, but I definitely love going to the gym, playing hockey, playing basketball. And there's other times where when it comes to especially music related things, I also teach guitar lessons, guitar and bass. And just sometimes, like whenever there's a band that needs help, for a show or for a gig or even for some practices, I'll come and fill in at time to time.
And Satan and I are also sushi connoisseurs and restaurant connoisseurs, because we do go out to dinner quite a bit and have our favorite eating spots that we like to critique. Yeah, exactly.
It's always good to know that people want to go out and have drinks and dinner after they're done talking to me. It always makes me feel good. What's your drink of choice with dinner?
Stella Artois. At least as of lately. But when it's either that or Guinness. I don't know about Jen.
And for me, I think it's just green tea.
All right, fair enough. Well, I tell you what, it's been a pleasure having you guys on the show, Jasmine, Michael, the band Polarity. Now, if people are interested in finding more about what you guys are up to and want to keep up to date on when you guys get in the studio and what you're going to be doing, how can they do so?
Okay, well, they just go to we have our main website, www.polaritymusic.com. We're also on Facebook, so facebook.com/polaritymusic. We're on Twitter as well, twitter.com/polaritymusic. And we're actually also on Instagram, so definitely come and follow us.
And on YouTube, you can find us under Polarity Official. YouTube. So anytime you see, look, Polarity Music, we're on that. And then on YouTube, we're Polarity Official. Wow. And we love interacting with our fans, and we love, hearing from new listeners and getting feedback from them, because we are completely independent. So we put our heart and souls into this. It's basically, you talk about free time, but we don't really have free time, because, when we're not writing, when we're not jamming, when we're not booking shows, when we're not trying to do online promo, in that little amount of time, we try to have our own lives. But, to really hear from the fans is really what gives us that push to say, we're on the right track. We're doing something that's made a difference in somebody else's life. And please feel free to reach out. And Ryan and Mike, we really appreciate you guys having us on, because we definitely, definitely love the exposure that you guys are giving to independent artists, and appreciate you helping us out with this.
Yeah, really. Thanks a lot, guys. I really appreciate it so much. And just don't be shy to come reach out to us at all.
And then we look forward to playing for you guys upon the release of the new album, because we definitely plan on touring both Canada and the States hard when it's out. We haven't been to the States, but we get a lot of requests to come down there. So we're just getting super, super stoked to make it down there in the new year.
It will happen.
Awesome. Well, all I can say is Nashville is really nice in late spring. So definitely, if you can, make your way down. But it's been a pleasure. And likewise, I mean, if you guys ever need anything, you know, definitely look our way. We'll do our best to help you out as much as we can. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show. We close out tonight with Death of a Song, which I think, is a fitting title. And we'll be in touch. Hopefully you guys had a good time tonight.
Definitely.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
This is Polarity, Death of a Song, here on Revelator.
She's come undone, strung loose by her master's chains. Nauseous from the noise, her words have turned to rust. A nuisance we despise. She left her life in us.
That is Left For You here on Revelator, and I'm joined now by Elias from the band Nonpoint. Hey man, I really dig the song Left For You. Now, the self-titled album, it's been out almost a year. Was it your guys, what, 8th album or 9th album now?
This is our 7th.
7th album, okay. Now, you guys probably had maybe a couple independent releases before that, but now the song Left For You obviously was the first single. You guys were actually here in Nashville to record that track with Brian Virtue. Talk to me what it was, you know, like working with him, and did you get a chance to take in the Nashville scene at all?
I really didn't get a chance to do anything in Nashville. We were just there for a couple of days to record the song. But Ryan Virtue was awesome to work with. He's a real pro. He's real easy to work with and a really friendly guy. Had a great little studio to work out of, and we had fun doing the song with him and Rob.
Awesome. Well, it was definitely a great track, and you know the rest of the album, obviously, you were in Chicago working with Johnny Kay, and I mean, the album, you know, again, pushing almost a year old at this point, and I got to say, man, I mean, hands down, one of the best albums top to bottom I've heard in the last 12 months. I mean, Go Time, Lights, Camera, Action, Another Mistake, the songs we're going to play on the show tonight. Talk to me about, you know, you've mentioned in other interviews about, you know, obviously, this is kind of a reset for you guys, joining Razor and Tie, working with Johnny Kay in Chicago. What was it like working with him? You know, obviously he has a great track record of producing
really quality material. What was it like working with him and also introducing new members to the band as well in that songwriting process?
It was cool. Johnny's a great producer. He really knows what he wants out of a song and what he hears out of a song, and he's really good about translating it. He's got a great studio there. You know, I was able to stay there pretty much most of the recording process. But for the most part, it was really cool, man. He had some great ideas and really helped us, you know, lock down this record to what you hear.
Well, it's a great record, man. It really is. I imagine working with someone like him, he obviously is going to, kind of not necessarily help with the writing process, but at least kind of, obviously offer advice or a different maybe perspective or point of view. I mean, I had to be pretty interesting to work with that type of producer where he's.
I mean, when we prior to working with Johnny and working with Brian, we really never honestly worked with any producers or any co-writers. So, we kind of know what we want to sound like, and we wanted to make sure that, we were working with someone, and the label wanted to make sure that we were comfortable working with somebody that was going to be offering up suggestions, and we would be, not only be willing to sit there and listen to them, but willing to take them every once in a while. And, Johnny K was really good about, giving his suggestion, as a suggestion, and seeing where it went. We were just pretty much about making the song, a great song. And I, looking at his track record, I really, I say respect his opinion. So, when ideas come from people like Johnny K and Brian Virtue, it's a lot easier to take those suggestions because you know where they're coming.
No, I think that's well said, man. Now, since the album's been out, you guys doing what you always do, man, playing show after show, hitting the road. I mean, you guys have played with, open up for Seven Dust, Device. You guys have played with some up and young bands too, like Throw the Fight from Indianapolis, Minnesota, a band I really enjoy. What's it like, putting in the work, doing all these live shows, getting out there? Obviously, you're playing at all kinds of different venues. What are some of the most fun venues you guys have played at?
We play a lot of places. Vegas is always fun. Madison is always fun. The venues and the towns are all different. The United States is a vast, vast country. People don't realize that until they go other places and realize how small other places are. So, the South is just as different from the West as it is from the Midwest and the Northeast. So, we enjoy things about each part of the country.
Very cool. Is there any particular venue that sticks out where you kind of showed up and been like, well, this is kind of an interesting setup or, kind of a strange location or anything like that? Anything that sticks out for you?
Not really, to be honest with you. They kind of all tend to, run together after 16 years.
I imagine so, man. I mean, again, you got playing shows, going out there and really putting in the work, man, crafting a live show, and you guys are known for a really, really great live show. Is there obviously ups and downs to being on the road? I know bands like to play pranks on one another. What's the best prank you guys have played on someone or has been played on you guys in your time on the road, man?
We're pretty good at that. We're actually famous for infiltrating buses and doing things to buses. That after show pranks are always fun. The head PE guys got us really good years ago. We got the In This Moment in the Drowning Pool camps pretty good this past year. So it definitely goes back and forth.
Can you share on any of the pranks you guys have pulled on those guys at all? Can you at least clue us in a little bit? Or
spider web and bus with paper toilet paper. Saran wrap their bus clothes. Wallpaper their entire van with aluminum foil, just fun stuff.
Right on. It sounds like you guys are enjoying the time, and that's what it's all about. Now, kind of switching gears on you a little bit, Elias, the single out right now is That Day, which we're going to hear in a moment. What can you tell us about this particular track and the writing process when you got laid this down?
Well, That Day, you know, it got worked like every other song. We did a little bit of pre-production before we walked in with Johnny K, and he had some ideas, and pretty much the song, turned into what it did. Don't really remember the specifics of how that song, pretty much changed into what it did, but I do remember that there were a few changes, and the song came out great.
Cool, man. Well, I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break, and we'll jam that track right now. That is Nonpoint here with That Day here on Revelator. It wasn't just the words that were thrown around, the sound that they made when they hit the ground running. You were out for blood and I was still tapped out from the battle before. I remember the smell in the room, it was a bad tattoo like cheap fume. Into a year, I gotta bring up all the things that are harder to keep. And the same old pat on the back, it'll all work out, and everything will be alright. Losing sight of reality, while losing the fight to try to forget. All I have are the memories of every single word you said. Every single word you said. I remember that day, everything changed. I remember that. The sense of making something out of nothing now. I know it would be pointless at this point in time. No one had any problems now. Are you forgetting the rumors and reputation? Don't help your situation. But all you have to show the world is how you act out the problems like a little girl. And your memory serves me right. You were serving up nothing but a plate of lies. And it was covered in flies. Right from the inside out. Excuse my reluctance, I put it in my mouth. Yeah, I'm losing sight of reality. I'm losing the fight to try. Every single word you said, every single word you said. I remember that day, everything changed. I remember that day, that image never fades away. I remember that day, something died inside of me. I remember that day, that everything changed. Nonpoint with That Day here on Revelator. Joined now Elias from the band Nonpoint. Now, I mentioned earlier in the interview, you guys are obviously playing a lot of shows. You have a bunch of shows coming up with Redline Chemistry, Pop Evil. You guys have a festival you're playing with Korn as well. You guys have played with a lot of great bands. As a great band yourself, is there any bands out there right now that you haven't played with that you would like to play with?
Deftones.
Ah. You can't go wrong with that, man. I dig the new album, and when She Died, man, that was probably one of the saddest stories that probably didn't get as much covers as it really should have, man. I mean, and Deftones have been around a long time. and you know, from Adrenalum, you know, all the way up. I mean, this guy's putting quality albums out. Is there any reason you guys haven't played with him? You guys have both been around, you know, for quite some time, have almost about the same amount of albums. It just hasn't happened for you guys, or?
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea why.
Well, man, that would definitely be a great pairing, man. I think you guys and Deftones, that'd be one hell of a tour that people would love to see, man, including myself. But again, I mentioned earlier, you know, obviously you guys are known for high energy live shows. I mean, do you have any pre-show rituals as a vocalist? I mean, you know, obviously warming up your vocals. Any other pre-show rituals you guys have?
Not really. We try to warm up as much as I can, do a little bit of stretching, listen to a couple of my favorite tunes, and try to get amped up for the night.
Very cool, man. Now, I know a lot of bands, you know, get a little intimidated playing with you guys nowadays, right? I mean, you know, you guys obviously a very tight band. You guys know what you want to do. You know how you want to sound. And the new record, again, is awesome. You know, and really coupling that with some of the older tracks, too. I mean, are bands kind of intimidated to play with you guys? Or is it kind of one of those things where, like, man, we really need to step up our game. We're playing with Nonpoint tonight.
Hey, man, we just go out there and do our things. We appreciate other bands and what they do, and we're happy that they appreciate what we do.
Very cool, man. Now, I know Rob has kind of alluded to, you guys have some future plans for recording, obviously doing some writing on the road and that type of thing. Would you guys, in the writing process right now, are you guys interested in working with Johnny K again, or is that still kind of in the works?
We'd always like to work with Johnny Kagan, in whatever capacity it might be. I think we had a really great first experience. If he wants to work on with a couple songs with us on the new record, I'm sure that that's not an issue. We would definitely like to do the same eventually.
Very cool. Now, writing on the road, is that kind of a release for you while you're on the road? If you're writing on the road, or do you even do that? I mean, is it kind of like, we're traveling from town A to town B, and just kind of, grab the notepad out or kind of jamming on the bus or something, just to kind of relieve, some of the ups and downs on the roads? Does that seem to help out quite a bit?
Yeah. I mean, it definitely breaks up the monotony. We're a band that continues to work. We really don't have that much time, downtime. And even when we do have downtime, we're writing. So, it's a 24/7, 365 kind of job. So, we treat it like that.
Well, it definitely shows, man. I mean, obviously going out there, playing on the road, and the last couple albums have been really, really solid. Now, the next track we're going to hear tonight is I Said It. Now, I guess maybe some bands probably get into that thing of trying to repeat something. Obviously Bullet With a Name, obviously you don't want to repeat that. But in my opinion, I Said It was kind of like the evolution of where you guys are really heading as a band and being professionals and being really good at writing songs and lyrically as well. Now, obviously with Rob on drums, Rob's a great drummer, man, as I've dabbled a little, not nearly as good as Rob by any means, but talk to me about, that track and, not necessarily creating, but really the evolution of where you guys want to go as a band, and this track, I think, kind of resembles that quite a bit, man.
I think the band is evolving in the same, pace and rate that it always has, pretty much. We don't like to repeat ourselves, at least I don't, and we do our best to make sure that we're not, influenced or the waters are muddied by, outside sources. We like to, go from the gut and try to figure it out ourselves. And, we're going to continue doing that until we decide to close up shop.
Well, I think it definitely shows with this track, and I got to ask, man, why I got you. I mean, I know you're a big gamer, into Wii, Xbox, PS3, all that stuff. I mean, are you looking forward to the new Xbox One coming out at the end of the year?
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to get it right away. We have the record coming up, so I'm going to be super busy. So gaming has unfortunately been put on the back burner a little bit.
Right on. Any new games you've had a chance to try out at all that you're a shooter first person kind of guy, or?
Yeah, I've just been playing Call of Duty and setting up bots and just having a good time with that.
Right on, man. You pretty good shot on the sniper rifle, man.
I'm decent. Sniper's
right.
Really not my weapon, but I'm decent.
Right on. Well, hey, Elias, I appreciate you taking the time out. We close out tonight with I Said It, and hey, man, best luck on tour, and hopefully we can keep in touch, and we appreciate your time, man.
Thank you so much. Thanks for the interview. I said it once, I'll say it again if I really want. I'm saying everything I wanted if I really want. I say it once, I say it twice, I say it right into your face. Take a step back, I gotta lie. Well, I gotta say, you're dumbest to stop us, wait. You're dumbest watch, go. Dumbest to stop us, and you really need to stop. Knock you over with a statement that will shock. Your mother should have left you in the balls of your pop. I said it, I said it, I'm saying that I said it.
Nonpoint, I said it here on Revelator. Thanks to Elias and the guys from Nonpoint for donating their time while they're on a tour. And really, dude, I freaking love that song right there. I said it. Also, big shout out to Jasmine and Michael from the band Polarity for joining us tonight as well. It's a big time double feature. Hopefully, you had as much fun as I did tonight. Next week, big time show, our August 20th show. Brian Fair from Shadows Fall and also the singer for Death Ray Vision. Full hour with Brian Fair and also music by Death Ray Vision and Shadows Fall. You do not want to miss it. Keep it locked. Omnes.tv. That's OMNES.tv. For more information about this week's guest and past guests, head on over to Omnes.tv. Again, that's OMNES.tv. Or check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/OMNES.tv. Like us, share us, tell a friend, tell somebody. Revelator, we're sticking around. Hey, it seems harder to enjoy the finer things in life. Until next time, do so, everybody.
This was episode 23, Nonpoint to a Polarity. For show notes or links to topics discussed on this episode of Revelator, or to experience previous episodes, head on over to omnes.tv, that's OMNES.tv, and click on Revelator. Thanks for listening.